Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Oh baby, I'm dreaming of Monday. Oh baby, when I'm Minnesota again. Oh baby, I'm dreaming of Monday. Dreaming of Monday. Hello, welcome to the Minnesode.
Hi.
With your mini hosts.
Oh, I thought you were going to call us mini hoes. And I was like,
with your mini hoes. That's so much better. Take two. Oh baby, I'm dreaming of Monday. Oh baby, when I'm Minnesota again. Hello, welcome to the Minnesode with your mini hoes.
I literally love that.
Thank you. I came up with it myself.
What's up, you dumb bitch losers?
Let's bring that I know. Back.
I know, but listen.
Well, welcome to the Minnesode, you stupid dumb slut losers.
Dumb slut losers. I was thinking about that the other day because I've been watching Euphoria. Literally, that is how they talk to
each other. And that's what that TikTok is about.
Exactly. You dumb slut losers.
Hey, you want to go to the bar tonight, you stupid dumb slut loser? Oh, you're doing fucking homework? I haven't done fucking homework in 2 fucking months. I'm obsessed with that TikTok. Caitlin Riley, baby.
Literally. Oh, you know what I won't do?
What?
I will not cast the McKinley characters in Euphoria High. You know what I mean? It's inevitable someone's going to ask, but these are my sweet babies, and I can't imagine them doing ketamine, you know?
Someone already has asked.
And really?
We respectfully decline.
Oh, that's good. I just want to protect these characters. Like, the Euphoria High kids, like, they are wise beyond my years. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't do half the stuff they do.
I saw TikTok.
I will wear all the glitter.
It's a meme now to be like, me as a student at Euphoria High, mm-hmm. or me like as blank. And I saw a TikTok that was like me as a teacher at Euphoria High. And, you know, it's just her being like, did anyone do the homework? Did anyone? Mm-hmm. But my favorite part of the whole thing is she's like, okay, I have to go make a copy of this. Everyone, please raise your right hand, repeat after me. I will not have sex while the teacher is out of the room.
Honestly, that is the one thing that really bothers me about that show is, like, there are things that those kids do where I'm like, we shouldn't be watching these, like, even pretend 17-year-olds do this. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. One of the girls, like, starts doing sex work in, like, she's, like, 16. And it's like, a big part of her, like, empowerment storyline. And I'm like, yeah, totally. That can be empowering for an adult, not a 16-year-old.
Yeah,
I was like,
you're mid-puberty. That's not.
I know. And, like, there's no word that, like, maybe this is not the right choice for her. Maybe she should, like, take a breather for a couple years.
Yeah, seriously. Like, wait a few years.
Yeah.
Yo, when you're 16, I know everyone tells you it. When you're 16 going on 17, innocent as a rose, I know everyone tells you, but it's very true. You have such big feelings and such big wants. Sometimes, you know, it's good to act on those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But then some of those feelings, you just need to take a step back and say, let's see if I still want this in 3 years.
Yeah, totally. It's like, is this necessary?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But I love Euphoria, that being said. But, you know, all of that. How are you doing, Ian? How's New York treating your little life?
I'm here. I've had like a weird few days last few days, but I do genuinely really love New York. I love being in a city. Mm-hmm. I love sitting on the subway and listening to music and being like, wow, everyone in this room has a story.
Yeah. Ooh.
But also just, you know, I was thinking about this last night. Also, hi, everyone. My name is Ian. I'm a mini gleek.
Hey, just, I'm Lena. I'm a mini gleek.
We're great.
Yeah.
I was just thought about this last night. My whole life right now is just me screaming for attention and anyone to notice me. And it's like, A, so embarrassing. Yeah. And B, just like so emotionally draining. Because like all I do is I'm like sending in submissions for shows and I'm sending in submissions for agents and I'm like sending my plays to like new play programs. And then I'm like making TikToks to try and get more people to listen to the podcast. And I'm just like, every moment of every day is me being like, please notice me. Please think that I have value and then give me money for it. And it is, ooh.
Yeah.
I am doing some self-help. I got some self-help books.
Okay.
Because it is necessary for my career to be doing that, but I'm trying to stabilize my self-worth in being independent of that.
Yeah, I hear you.
So that while career-wise, yes, I need other people's validation because otherwise I don't get money.
Yes.
Just as a human being, I don't need it so much.
Isn't that the way when like your job insists that you like give a shit about other people's opinion of you and then that bleeds into like your life and then you develop an anxious attachment style?
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. I talk about this in therapy all the time. I'm like, why do you think I went into a career where strangers have to clap for me? Like,
I know.
I don't value myself. I need other people to do it for me.
Like, come on. Absolutely hear that.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good.
Oh, God. I'm struggling just with, like, you know... God, going through like my childhood bedroom.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible.
It's terrible. It's just like not a fun thing to do. And like, God, I had a friend ask me to hang out. And I was like, if I don't hang out with my mom, I'll die. So can we hang out another day? So I was like, just being a psychopath. Not a psychopath.
I was going to say, that seems very reasonable.
I'm just like a 25-year-old who like sobs every time I leave the house. I just, you know, maybe that's a lot of information. Anyway, but I'm feeling good. I still don't have an apartment, but I think that's normal. And your brother actually texted me this morning. And the closer I get, the closer I am a bit like okay with not having a place where I'm like, okay, there are options here. I don't have, I'm not going to be quote unquote like homeless. Like I can live in an Airbnb. I can sublet for a month before I find something. It's just like, my control freak in my head is just like, if you have a place that is yours, if you have a place that is yours, that like, you know, you're in charge of the Wi-Fi, this is our house, we make the call. You know what I mean? Where it's like, if I know I have somewhere to go, that like eases a lot of my anxiety that like, I'm not gonna die. You know what I mean? Like I sound very anxious when I talk about all of this. I'm very excited to live in New York. But I'm also like a creature that like needs my own room and I need like you know, I like need some like solace, especially like I'm like a very anxious person. I've got lots of sensory issues. I just need a house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just need an apartment. So I'm kind of freaking out.
No, as someone who is overly controlled, it makes perfect sense to me. It's just like, I'm so envious of them. There are people who can just like leave abandoned to the wind. That's not a phrase. I made it up.
But
they can just like dive in and not know what the next step is and be like, everything will work out. And you know, I wish I could be them.
I
need to know the next step. I need to know all the aspects.
I know. And I'm one of those people that's like, I need like the next three steps, you know, like I need to know that that I have somewhere to land, first of all, because that's the thing is how can you even take a step when you don't know if you're going to land? It's so scary. And so many people have like, oh my gosh, we have gotten just an uproar of love and support and like good advice from people who like live in New York, people who are like moving, people who are in similar situations to us right now. Just like so much support, so much love. I honestly don't feel alone even a little bit in any of this. So I do feel a lot of comfort from all of that, but it's also like if any of you have a hookup for an apartment, I'm just gonna please do not. That's a very no.
We love your support. We love your kind words. If you could throw an apartment in with it, we'd love it even more.
Like, thanks so much for being my friend. Will you actually buy me a car? You know what I mean? Like, no, that's not what I'm saying. But anyway, that being said, thank you all so much for all of the kind messages. Oh my gosh. Every day we get a DM, we get an email that is like people saying they're proud of me. Hello, do you know the key to my heart? Yes, you do. What the hell? So nice. So nice.
Speaking of, let's hit up some of your feedback, some of your emails. Minisode 56.
Great transition, brother.
Thanks, sister.
Up first, we have a message. Yep. We have a message from Brienne.
Yep.
I'm glad you laugh at me.
That was funny.
No. I'm saying thank you. I'm grateful that you laugh at my jokes anytime.
I mean, they're funny, so you deserve it. I probably would, you know, laugh to support you, but when it happens, it is not to support you. It is a genuine reaction.
My favorite is when you it takes a second for a joke to hit you, and then your head goes away from the microphone, and you essentially just scream, and the microphone cuts out for me. It's very funny. Anyway, Brienne, take it away.
Hello, Ian and Lena, longtime listener, first time email. Hello, my name is Brienne, she, her, and I, too, am a Gleek. I come to you with exciting information. I started listening to the show back in October, so I started from the beginning, therefore very far behind. But this will be worth it. When you guys were talking about Rumors, Season 2, Episode 9, you talk about the cultivation of fondue for two. Well, besties, I was listening to Ian's Glax, and when he says, Teresa Musumeci gave a letter to Cory Monteith, I nearly crashed my car because I went to college with her and like we were friends. She was a year younger than me and somehow this never came up. So I texted her best friend to confirm and he said it was her. I texted her for an update and referenced your podcast. Here's what she said via our text convo to clarify our concerns. What happened was I loved Glee and Mr. Cory Monteith so much, and when I went to the concert, I wrote a letter for Cory, so embarrassing, on the off chance that I met him, I could give to him. I gave it to security guard at the stage door, and I actually ended up meeting him and a bunch of the cast, and he said he had gotten the letter, but I thought he was kind of BSing me. In the letter, I wrote that I wanted to make a talk show called Fondue for Two, and if he wanted to be on it, to call me, and I put my number, LOL. Next thing I knew, I was watching Glee and Britney had a show named that, and I was like, whoa, that's weird. But I never really got any answers. I don't know if he told Ryan Murphy or Ryan Murphy found the letter. I really have no idea. I hand wrote it too, which was silly. But my friend contacted the local news and they contacted Glee and they confirmed the idea came from me, but they really just sent me an autographed script and moved on. Nothing else really came of it. But yeah, that's the story. I can't stop laughing that I was mentioned in that podcast. I wish I had more of a story for you, but I don't really know exactly what happened behind the scenes either. I just know they kind of wrote me off because I was a kid and probably should have asked for permission, but it's all water under the bridge now. Ha ha ha. Unquote. I hope this information is as thrilling to you as it was to me. Love y'all. Stay kind, beautiful, show-stopping. You bring me so much light. With love, Brienne. Brienne, like, Teresa, you know, I'm proud of you for essentially, like, forgiving and forgetting and moving on.
I will never forgive.
This rubs me the wrong way.
I know! This feels worse.
Because, because we knew they gave her an autograph script.
Yes.
And we were still kind of like, that feels like cheating. But right. Our assumption was like, they were like, hey, we used your idea, here's the script. Yes. They only sent her the script because they got caught.
Yeah, by the local news.
Because Teresa's friend is an investigative journalist. Literally. and said, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And then Ryan Murphy was like, oh, crap. Let's send her a present to shut her up.
And like, I'm not sure how old Teresa was when this all happened, but like, for like the biggest TV show of the time to fully like cop an idea from a child, mm-hmm. like that is so messed up. It like feels this feels very gross. Way worse now. This yeah. is crazy. I honestly, I need to get Ryan Murphy on the phone because this is wild. Teresa looks like, you know, they have a good like attitude about the whole uh-huh. thing, but I don't have a good attitude about any of this.
And like, it wasn't even that Teresa was like, hey, I have an idea for something Brittany could do on the show.
Yes.
She was like, I have an idea for something I want to make myself.
Yeah.
And then Ryan Murphy stole the idea, did not give her credit uh-huh. until he got caught stealing the idea. And so if, you know, Teresa's friend had not been a super sleuth, essentially, they would have just done this and pretended they had the idea. Yeah. And then if Teresa ever made the show that she had wanted to make from the beginning, everyone would have been like, you're just copying Glee.
Yeah.
And she would have no proof that she had come up with that idea first.
The way this fills me with a rage, we need answers. Like, this is crazy. Like, Teresa needs financial compensation. Like, you know what I mean? Should we start like a change.com, like a change.org,
change
like petition
.org for Teresa.
This is great up.
It, I mean, I will say though, very exciting that you got to meet Cory Monteith.
I know that is, and like you got to meet
the
whole
cast. He sounds like such a lovely person.
Literally. Brianne, I can't even begin to thank you for the absolute gift you have given us mm-hmm. by contacting Teresa. I'm forever in your debt. Oh my gosh, this is wild. I don't know how we've ever operated without this information before. Holy crap! I feel like a true crime podcast.
That we should, you know what I mean? We should like petition Glee mm-hmm. that they have. I mean, it's not streaming anywhere, but when it hopefully yeah. starts streaming again,
please God,
they have to re-edit every episode. So
yes!
every time that Brittany does fondue for two, it's like fondue for two, that's one hot dish. Fondue for two, freeze frame ADR voice saying presented by Teresa Musumeci.
Literally.
And then she can be credited every time that comes up in the show.
Every single time. It is the least of what she deserves. This is wild. This is Dang. Crazy.
Well, Brianne, thank you for opening our eyes. Teresa, proud of you for forgiving. I do think the situation is worse than we thought it was.
This is a true crime podcast now. You thought it was about Glee. It's actually about getting Teresa her just desserts and having Ryan Murphy pay her.
Oh my gosh.
I am full of
this rage. Is our cereal.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I would love that. Okay. We gotta move on. up next we have a message from Rin.
My name is Rin, she, her, and I'm from Australia.
International listener!
I've been listening to you guys since March 2021, and I've been watching Glee since 2009 at the ripe age of 6. So, I myself am disabled, and I have always felt kind of uncomfortable with the disabled representation, mainly because of Artie, and season 2 of the Glee Project is concerning me. This is mainly because this season has two disabled contestants, Mario and Allie. I think we're starting off well, with Zach adapting the choreography to fit everyone, but I'm worried that Ryan Murphy is going to force them into their disability stereotypes, because the man loves it. I don't think it's bad to have a disability be an important part of the story. My disability is an important aspect of my life, but I really don't think that Ryan Murphy has the nuance to write good disabled characters. Allie is like one of the most talented people, and Mario has the purest soul, but I feel like the writers are just going to focus on the fact that they are blind and in a wheelchair over everything else. I hope this makes sense. I'm not the best at written expression, which is probably why I'm an actor first. Also, please never stop randomly singing, and welcome to New York. It's been waiting for you. Consensual forehead kisses for all. XOXO. Gossip Girl! Rin, did I get that reference correct?
Okay. We were debating before we started, but maybe you were referencing Despicable Me by saying girl. But also maybe you were referencing Material Girl.
I think you're referencing, for those at home who don't have text in front of them, Rin wrote girl, G-O-W-R-L. I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Material Girl. But you could also be Gru from Despicable Me.
Yeah. You could also say girl.
Maybe that's how they spell girl in Australia. You know how like they put U in color?
They put a W in girl.
They put an O-W in girl. I mean, the water Australia, spins the other way confirm. There. It's wild.
I know. Everything
it's no man's land.
I've never
been. It's freaking Tuesday there right now. I love getting emails from people in Australia who are like, "You're the highlight of my week. I always look forward to Tuesday and Thursday."
I know. I'm like, we got a new.
How does it feel living in
the
future?
I said, "Whoa, you are steps ahead of us." So, Rin, we genuinely need to know. What were you referencing? Were you just being a cutie patootie? That being said, I genuinely super appreciate you sending us this message. I appreciate your perspective on this. And I mean, I absolutely agree. I think Ryan Murphy is, a motherfucker at best. And he's just like... It's the way he sees people, I'm sure, is like his writer brain, where he like breaks people down into like categories, which I think is, good. And like you said, Rin, like your disability is a part of your life. And like, that's an important part of who you are. And like, that makes you who you are. That's not a bad thing to like, include that in your character. But to like reduce someone down to like any aspect of themselves, I think is... not the right thing to do. And Ryan Murphy has proved time and time again, he doesn't know how to do that, you know?
Yeah. Like the characters on, obviously, you know, we talked about it before. Almost every character on Glee is kind of like based in a stereotype. Although, yes. Like we've spoken before, a stereotype that is like the mean cheerleader is different than like a person in a wheelchair and the stereotypes that come along with that. But beyond that, like the characters who become like fully fleshed out three-dimensional characters beyond their stereotype tend to be the white able-bodied characters, like the Finns and the Rachels and the Pucks.
Yes.
And then all of these other characters, it's just kind of like, here's a stereotype and nothing else. And they just kind of like get pushed in the background. Like you have freaking Artie's in every episode and in like 70% of them, he has like two lines and a reaction shot.
Yeah,
and then the actor who plays Artie isn't even disabled himself.
Yeah.
I just think, I mean, we see it time and time again in the Glee Project. These like creators of this show are so proud of themselves for like quote unquote writing a show about the underdog and like giving representation to the underdog, and like they truly believe that that is what they're doing. But then you look at the results and it's like, this isn't actually a show for the underdog. It is a show like built on the backs of the underdog to raise up your like most mainstream cast members.
Yeah. I mean, I look forward to watching the rest of this show and keeping the conversation open about that. You know what I mean? So, Rin, I, again, really appreciate your perspective and thank you. And also, please let us know. What were you referencing? Were you
and
referencing
also,
anything?
Gossip Girl!
I don't know how that would be the thing.
You seriously, I don't know how your first thought was Gru and not like the current TikTok trend.
Maybe I'm an old lady.
Shoot. Gossip Girl. I stand by it. Until Rin herself corrects me, I stand by it.
Honestly, I'm glad. Up next, we have a message from Sarah.
In an LPC. Hi, friends. My name is Sarah, she, her. I am a singer-songwriter here in New York City. I've been a long-time listener, but this is my first email to you guys. Anyway, is it weird that as I'm writing this, I'm hearing it being read in Ian's voice? Sarah, should I do a fun, different voice just to prove you wrong? Just to spice it up? Leaned fully Sarah checked say? Out.
No. I was trying to look up Sarah. I wanted to hear her music.
Oh.
I found her!
How is it?
Good. I like this. Look how cute she is.
Oh, I fully looked up her Instagram because of something she says later in this email. This is not a song. Ooh, this is lovely. What is the name of this song?
I Can Do Better.
Everyone look up I Can Do Better on Spotify, baby.
By Sarah Schwab. If that's how you say your last name. This is good. I'm downloading this right now.
All right, Sarah's words are, so my roommate and I are huge fans. We debrief after listening to every episode and truly feel like you both are our friends. We are currently watching the Glee Project together. She's never seen it. While I have spent many a days in my early teens drooling over Cameron Mitchell and Charlie from this season. As we were watching the first episode of season 2, I couldn't help myself from getting so unbelievably angry. Holy cow, this is Ian, I forgot to mention. Sarah's email has like major spoilers about Glee Project season 2. So if yes. you don't know what happens in this season, if you don't know who wins, I would suggest we'll see you on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a mini kiss on your mini forehead on your way out.
All right. Now that it's just the cool people. Just kidding. Anyone who left is also so cool. But now that it's just the people who know who wins or don't care if they know, let's get back into it. Okay. As we were watching the first episode of season 2, I couldn't help myself from getting so unbelievably angry. Seeing all these amazing and diverse people audition for the show is so heartbreaking because I know how this season ends. I haven't listened to your latest episode yet because we just finished watching it. So apologies if you've already expressed this. It's so depressing to see all of these young kids who are some of the most unique people I've seen on TV talking about their hopes and dreams of being on Glee and knowing that it doesn't come to fruition. Blake said he is an actor in LA. So why couldn't Ryan Murphy write a heartthrob role and then hold auditions in LA for that part? This competition is for people who normally wouldn't have as great of a shot being seen in an audition room. They either don't have the resources or privilege of being a good-looking white man or can't afford to be an actor in an expensive city. This competition is to find the authentic and genuine people that just want to be themselves on a TV show, and here they have an abundance of talented and incredibly unique people, and Ryan makes the choice he could have easily held auditions for. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I just needed to vent to people who understand my anger. As an actor myself, it's just aggravating to hear an industry preach that they want change and then never follow through on it. Anyway, sorry this is getting long, but I just have one more thing to say. Lena, it broke my heart to hear the fear and panic in your voice as you talked about moving to New York. I seriously started tearing up when I was listening because 4 years ago, I was terrified out of my mind to move to the city. I'm not going to go all Alex Newell on you and say, I just see a lot of myself in you guys. But what I will say is this. Yes, New York is scary and difficult, but it is by far the best decision I have ever made. It may feel like a mistake for a little while, but I promise if you stick it out, you will find the most beautiful, challenging, and inspiring life here. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that New York will be a game changer for both of you. You both exude such kind, hardworking, and resilient energy that the city will have no other option but to love you back. I hope this gives you solace. You both have no idea how much you've done for my mental health in the past year. And if I ever see you on the subway, I will be looking you both straight in the eyes and saying, baby likes a soup and nothing more. Love you both. New York is waiting with open arms. Sarah.
Sarah, this message is so kind, first of all. Thank you so much. I can't even express how comforting it is to hear all of these things. And, you know, someone saying that, like, if you give something good energy, it'll give it back is like, oh my gosh, that's just math. I'll be fine. You know what I mean? Like, genuinely, it's very comforting for me to hear. Yeah. So thank you. I really appreciate that. But the rest of your message, absolutely. I completely agree. Like, this show, I don't understand. And obviously, we'll get into all of this and we'll break it all down as we progress. But it is disappointing to see what the show preaches it is. It is like, what did they even say? They're like an inspiration contest or something, or like, you know, something like that, where it's like, I don't know. They keep saying this, and they keep saying Glee is this, and you are Glee. Like, everything about you is Glee. And then, like, obviously, spoiler, like, to see who they pick and to see, like, to hear the words come out of Robert Ulrich's mouth that, you know, he's looking for a Finn type. They should have. You're right. Sarah, you're right. Like, had auditions for a heartthrob in L.A. Like, they should have done that if that's what they were wanting to do.
That's what's so frustrating to me is, like, you know, if they had picked the winner, I still would have been like, this feels suspicious and dumb. And why were you talking about how, like, this was, you wanted, like, someone different who could, like, bring something new to the show. Mm-hmm. And then you just picked someone who is already represented on the show, like, five times over. But it is especially suspicious because, as you mentioned, Lena, in the first episode, Robert Ulrich is like, Ryan wants a new Finn. Then just hold auditions for a new Finn. Yeah. Don't give all these kids false hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and like, exploit them for your TV show, truly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, we saw in Glee Project One, you know, these kids are exploited. These kids, like, are made to divulge, like, lots of private information about themselves, like, put all of their insecurities on the line, you know, at a base level. And then it gets, like, you know, the worst of it, it is, like, tokenism and, like, all of this, like, weird, honestly, it feels like lying. So all of it is weird. I look forward to breaking it all down with you guys. I think we're gonna have fun, despite the circumstances. Because I love reality TV.
Yeah. Sarah, thank you so much for this email. Thank you for your kind words. We're sending good energy your way. Your music is very good. Everyone very go download that song. I need to clear my throat. There we go. I also fully, after reading this email, looked Sarah up on Instagram. So that if I saw her on the subway, I would know who it was. I read the last paragraph and I was like, I need to be prepared for this.
You said, I need tools. Yeah. Honestly, I look forward to that interaction, Sarah. That'll be so fun. Last but certainly not least, we have a message from Imad.
Hey, Lena and Ian. My name is Imad, pronounced they, them, and I'm writing this email from Toronto, Canada at 2 a.m. because I can't sleep. I'll be honest. I haven't listened to the most recent episode about Glee Project Season 2, but I'm excited to, and this was a season I watched in real time back in the day and thoroughly enjoyed. I can't wait to hear what y'all have to say about some of the drama or what I can remember of it, and will definitely be writing more about down the line. I could spend this email writing about how much I agree with all the things you two say, especially about Ryan Murphy being sexist and survivor talk, etc., but I really wanted to take this time to thank you so much for how your podcast has helped me. I'm a generally social person and very extroverted, but I've had trouble socializing over the past few months due to depression and other factors, namely a global pandemic. But knowing that I get to listen to who I feel like are two of my best friends talk about something I love for 2 to 3 hours every week has been so helpful and a joy. I truly love hearing about your lives and your little, or let's be real, not so little, actually super long, tangents about things like Survivor or Community or Succession, of which I started watching because of y'all, or even your favorite Christmas movie. I just fucking love you two. Thank you for making my life better, as I'm sure you have for so many other listeners. Your friend, Imad. Imad, thank you so much for this message. We get a lot of messages like this. I just want to say we read all of them. They all mean so much to us. So this thank you to Imad is truly like a thank you to everyone. It just, I don't know. I feel like I talk about this a lot, but it just means so much for people to talk about how this podcast has helped them or like made them feel less alone or just like distracted them from stuff going on in their lives. It's just so great to know that like people are finding help in this. It also like feels, I don't know, it feels weird because I'm like, are we qualified?
Yeah, absolutely.
But truly like, it's just such a blessing to us and a comfort to us to know that like people are getting some form of positive energy or like distraction or whatever it is out of our podcast.
And like, I'm gonna say a phrase that I think is maybe not exactly what I mean, because doing this is not like not hard in the sense that like it is something I love to do. I love to sit and chat with my best friend, Ian. I love to talk about this show that like means so much to me. And I absolutely love like hearing for other people, but truly hearing that it helps people feel less alone. Like I think loneliness is, you know,
it's the scariest lethal, feeling. Baby.
It's truly, it makes everything worth it. You know, like, and I say it makes everything worth it. It truly, like, it's not, like, you know what I mean? Like, that makes it sound difficult. It's not. Like, it is the light of my life doing this podcast. And I'm very grateful that we have the opportunity to do it. And it would not be possible without every single person listening.
Yeah.
So, thank you to everyone. Thank you, Imad. This message was so sweet. And I
also, if people are looking for another show, because I know so many people are like, I started watching Community because of you two. I started watching Succession because of you two. You guys, we actually talked about this on the last episode, but the episode was so long, I ended up cutting the conversation out. So I'm just going to say it here because this episode hasn't gone over. You have to watch Search Party on HBO Max. It is at the season 4 was still enjoyable. It kind of lost me. Okay. The first 3 seasons of Search Party are some of the best television I have ever seen in my entire life. I was talking about it on the Discord and I described it and someone was like, oh, so like Pretty Little Liars? And I was like, yes, if Pretty Little Liars was self-aware and funny and also like actually cared about moving the plot forward. Because my biggest complaint with Pretty Little Liars is they were dragging that mystery out as long as they could. And I was like, totally. I don't care anymore.
And it got to the point where like the mystery wasn't even a mystery anymore. It was like a different mystery on top of the mystery. And it was like, what's going on?
Truly, Search Party, so much plot is happening at one time that it's the opposite problem as Pretty Little Liars, where you're just like getting whiplash because you're like revelations and like plot twists. And it's wild. It's so good. It's on HBO Max. Also, very tragically, Louis Anderson passed away on Friday. He has like a big recurring character in the 3rd season of the show, and he is so, so, so funny. Mm-hmm. Everyone go watch Search Party. Okay. It is the best. It's so good.
I love that. I will. I'm looking forward to it. I should probably start watching it now. I'm looking for some like thing to like calm the anxiety in my head.
That's what, when I was going through it before my move, I was binge watching Search Party and it helped a lot, which is so funny because like it's not a relaxing watch. It's like actually very stressful, but that kind of helped because then I could be stressed out about this fake thing that like made me forget about my real stress.
Yeah.
And then when I would turn the TV off, I'd be like, okay, well, that was fake. And then I could just like let go of all that stress.
Do you ever like watch a very stressful thing and then walk away feeling stressed? I know you just said you turn off the TV and you don't feel stressed anymore. But then you walk away like with that feeling of stress in your chest and you're like, what? Why am I feeling stressed?
Yeah.
And then you think back and you're like, oh, I was just watching something. Or like if you feel embarrassed, like it's like, oh, I actually just made up a scenario in my head. I shouldn't be feeling this embarrassed.
One time in high school, I was going to bed and I was like so antsy and like kind of depressed and like really anxious. And I was like, what is going on? Why do I feel so bad? And then I thought back, and it was because Jim and Pam had gotten in a fight on The Office that night.
That is so funny.
Oh my gosh.
You're like, my parents. Well, next week, we are episode 2.
This week.
Oh my gosh, yeah, Wednesday. What is the episode? I'll tell you. Oh my gosh. It is danceability and a vulnerability next week. I mean, this week in 2 days. Oh my gosh. Time, heck, it means nothing to me, you guys. Put yourself in my shoes. It's actually next week for me right today. But yeah, on Wednesday, those episodes come out. If you have thoughts on those episodes that you would like to share with us, if you have any more information on like, you know, our true crime podcast coming up, we need, like stuff about Teresa, you know, the letter, the fondue for two gate. please send that to recoveringleak@gmail.com.
All right. Love all of you so much. Thank you for being here. Thanks for sending us your thoughts. Thank you for listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
We'll see you all in 2 days.
Totally. If you want to follow us on social media, you definitely can. We're at recoveringleak_podcast on, Instagram and TikTok, and then on Twitter we're at Recovering Gleek. And if you would like to support our podcast with your words, I wish you would. You can do that on Apple Podcasts. We're obsessed with those recently. They make my life heaps better. So love you guys. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Here's a mini kiss on your mini forehead.
Bye.
Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.